Blog Talk Radio.
Go for it. Go. Go for it. Hello, welcome to Go For It. I'm your host, Paul Gannon, for the next hour. We will be talking sports and having fun. I want all your opinions, all your ideas, and all your beliefs. And, of course, you will get a heavy dose of my opinions. And if you have an opinion, the number to call is 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Hope everybody had a great week. Beautiful Saturday afternoon here on the East Coast. Hope it's beautiful where you're at. We're expected to be joined by junior middleweight and middleweight contender Ishae Smith, who will be talking about his upcoming fight against Fernando Guerrero on July 16th, and that will be televised by Showtime. Smith is looking to get back into the mix with the top fighters at 154. Though he's fighting at 160, he wants to contend at 154. But this fight will take place at the middleweight limit of 160. Should be interesting what Smith has to say going into this fight. It should be a good fight, and Ishae Smith's a good guy, tough boxer. And should be interesting to get his thoughts about his upcoming fight. Also today, the NBA draft just passed. Not much surprise there. A few small trades here and there, but nothing shocking or extraordinary. I mean, it was just a typical NBA draft. Actually, to be honest, I mean, I'm a big NBA guy. I love the NBA. But this draft was a little boring after the first few picks. But again, I mean, the draft was there. I mean, John Wall went first, no surprise. Evan Turner second. I mean, the first five picks pretty much, there were no surprises. And it was a good draft all in all. But the real deal in the NBA right now is this free agency deal. That's the big thing coming up right now. You got guys like LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Amari Stoudemire, Dirk Nowitzki, Joe Johnson, Yao Ming has a possibility of being a free agent. You got Carlos Boozer, Rudy Gay, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of the free agents. I mean, these are who's who in the NBA, these guys. And a lot of these guys are free agents right now. And it's going to be big. LeBron James has stated, or sources are saying, that LeBron will not be traveling from city to city in terms of going to each city and hearing the pitch from each team. He's going to have the teams come to him and tell him pretty much what they have to offer and tell him what pretty much he can do for their franchise and what the franchise can do for him. So it should be interesting to see what happens there. I mean, I heard Chris Bosh say that once LeBron goes, and it'll probably open it up for everybody else. Everybody else will start to go to various places. So it should be interesting what happens there. But, I mean, in terms of LeBron James, I don't think he's going to go back to Cleveland. I want him to go back to Cleveland. And if he does go back, I think it's going to be, again, another short-term deal. But, again, if you look at LeBron James, as far as I'm concerned, and I've been on record as saying this, as far as I'm concerned, if you roll the ball out today with the Cleveland Cavaliers, it's been proven the past 2 years that they can get 60 wins. So I think with that being said, look for LeBron James. I mean, with that being said, I think Cleveland's the best spot because, again, you're getting 60 wins. Now, in terms of the playoffs, I mean, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals the year before, and this year they went out in the second round. But maybe it takes a little bit more of LeBron getting it done in the playoffs for them to take it to that next step or to that next level. But, I mean, again, if you go to Chicago, everybody's saying, okay, Derrick Rose, everybody's saying Noah, Taj Gibson, Luol Deng, and all those boys. But, I mean, again, there is no guarantee that when you roll that ball out there that you'll have 60 wins. Maybe you're a championship contender. Probably so. But at the same time, who's to say? And you can't say, we don't even know in terms of chemistry and all those other things how things will work out there. So who's to say? And I mean, again, you look at the Nets situation, New Jersey Nets. I mean, they have a pretty good situation in terms of they drafted Derek Favors. They have Devin Harris in the mix, and they have a lot of cap room. And they have the ability to bring in multiple guys. So we'll see what happens there. But, I mean, it should be very interesting what LeBron James is going to do. And come July 1, which is this Thursday, LeBron James will have to make a big – well, he won't have to make the decision there, but he will be eligible to make a decision on where he wants to go and where he'll decide to go. I mean, if you stay in Cleveland, you can be that hometown guy. You can be that savior, that franchise in that city, a championship-starved city in Cleveland. So you can have all those things if you make a decision to stay in Cleveland. All the other things, all the other situations are unknowns. New York is an unknown. Who can they surround LeBron with? Okay. New Jersey, again, unknown situation. I guess you have Devin Harris, you have Favors, Brooke Lopez. You've got a few other guys there, and you have cap space. But, again, there's no guarantee that you will be able to surround LeBron James with the right guys and the right pieces for that team to be successful. Now, and then in terms of money, LeBron James can make the most money in Cleveland, $30 million more than anywhere else. So if you're LeBron James, I mean, we'll see. I mean, if you go to a place like New York, maybe you will make more money in terms of advertisements and endorsements and things of that nature. But in terms of just pure basketball and money from your team, you can make the most money in Cleveland. So I don't know if that's, again, you don't know if that is a big thing for LeBron. But, I mean, there's 30 million reasons why he may and should stay in Cleveland. 30 million reasons. But we'll see what happens as this free agency period plays out. Dwayne Wade, also a free agent. But, again, many believe that he will go back and stay with Miami. And I expect that to happen as well. And you also look at Chris Bosh. I think he will leave Toronto. Where he goes, I'm not sure. No one knows. But he's going to make some visits and maybe lands in New York, Jersey, who knows. I mean, maybe he goes to Chicago for that matter. But we'll see what happens there. But the reality is it's all centering around the king, and that's LeBron James. Also, you got to put into the mix the Clippers, who have a ton of cap room and a ton of talent. So we'll see what happens with the Clippers in terms of LeBron James and in terms of free agency. So it should be very interesting to see what happens here, man. And it's probably the best free agent class in the history of basketball. And maybe the best free agent class in the history of sports. I mean, how many times can you say that you have you look at Wade, James, Bosh, Stoudemire, Nowitzki, Joe Johnson. I mean, you got guys possibly. I mean, you got a lot of top 10 guys in this free agency class. I mean, Nowitzki's a superstar, an all-star, an MVP. Stoudemire's an all-star, a star in this league. Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James. Dwayne Wade has won titles. I mean, there is a lot of talent in this draft class, in this free agency class. So it should be interesting how this thing plays out. But again, it's all going to start with what LeBron James decides to do and what he will do in terms of staying with Cleveland, going to New York, Jersey, Chicago, L.A., the Clippers, who knows? Who knows where he'll go? And more than likely, judging by the way everything is playing out and judging by how things are going, I don't expect LeBron James to stay in Cleveland. But I think it would be good for him, and I think it would be good for basketball. And if he's truly about winning, your best situation, I think, is in Cleveland. if he's about winning, like he says he is, his best situation is with the Cleveland Cavaliers, no doubt about it. And so we'll see what happens there with LeBron, and should be interesting to see where and how this free agency situation shakes out here in 2010. Waiting on, expected to be joined by junior middleweight contender and former contender star, Ishae Smith, who is preparing for his upcoming fight. So that should be an interesting talking to him and see where things are going there and how this fight will shake out. Should be a good, and Ishae Smith is a tough fighter, tough guy, and it should be a good fight and an interesting fight. But we're expected to be joined by him any moment now on this show. Also, and going what's going on today, Michael Vick is in the news. Apparently, there was a man who was shot outside his a Virginia Beach club where Michael Vick was having his 30th birthday party. Many people, according to Michael Vick's lawyer, the shooting occurred outside the place, and Michael Vick was long gone when the shooting took place. So, actually I'm reading this story now from the Hampton Daily Press, and according to Roddy White, former teammate of Michael Vick in Atlanta, Roddy was with Michael Vick most of the time, and he stated that at the time that they were gone. Apparently a fight broke out at the place was closing, and a man was shot in the leg. And but all in all, no matter how it shakes out, it's just not a good situation for Mike Vick. And you hope, and I hope Michael Vick is not involved. And I don't think he is. It's too early to tell, but I hope he's not. And I'm all for second chances, and I hope he takes advantage of this second chance. We're going to be joined by Ishae Smith. Ishae?
Yes, I'm on.
Thank you. Thank you for joining the show. Good to have you.
Oh, thanks for you guys for having me on.
Did you get some training in today?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, early this morning. So, yep, it was a good run this morning, and going to do my second session here in about 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours.
All right. Ishae, a lot of people remember you from the contender here, and you kind of gained some prominence there. How did you get selected for that show?
A lot of people seem to think that I went and sought after them, and that I made other fighters sent my resume in and all that, which I didn't. You know, I was sitting at home, and they happened to call me. You know, they got my number from one of the commissions, and they called me and told me to come try out. And I said, well, I'm a little experienced. I said, I'm, ranked in the 147 across the board. I didn't think you guys were looking for fighters like that. And they were like, no, we're looking for everyone. Just come try out. And I tried out when they came in Vegas, when did an interview. I didn't have to spar or nothing. And that's how it all happened.
So many of the guys, had to spar to get into the.
I think many of them did. I think many of them had to go through the extensive trial process, but I didn't have to do that.
Now, did you think the series would be as popular as it turned out? Did you think it would benefit your career as much as it did?
At the time, I didn't, because that was back in 2004, so I was 24 years old at the time. So I didn't really grasp everything that the series would do for us, as far as, the notoriety and, being on NBC and everything, and the popularity that we gained from it. At that time, I didn't, but as the years went on, a year or two later, I realized how big it was.
Now, Ishae, you're a religious guy, and on the back of your shorts you have Psalms 27. Tell us, and tell all of us, what does that mean to you? What does that particular scripture mean to you?
It means a lot because, you know, it starts off by, you know, the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So I kind of just taken that and ran with it and, you know, realizing, you know, that boxing is so much of a mental game, just, you know, not to, you know, fear no one, but, you know, respect everybody. So I respect all my opponents, but I have no fear in none of them. So it just lets me know that God is on my side, and just to stay persistent and to keep plugging away.
Now, Ishii, this fight will take place at 160, the middleweight limit. You stated that you don't really want to stay at 160. You want to stay at 154. Now, if you win this fight, do you think this will open up opportunities for you at 154?
I don't think so. I don't know, because it's hard for me to get fights there. I've offered several guys fights. We offered a fight from a guy in Philly, a fight, Derek Ennis, and he turned me down, and he's a USBA champion. We've offered several guys at 54 fights, and they've all turned them down. It seems like I can only get fights. I'm either getting fights at 160 or getting offer fights at 160, so it's tough. So I'm going to fluctuate between the two, whichever one is more prominent, whichever one guy leads me to make my mark at. But I'm going to fluctuate between the two weights, because obviously just limiting myself to that 54 class isn't beneficial for me in my career right now.
Now, do you know why you're being avoided at 154?
I have no idea. I don't think those guys want to take the risk. Those guys don't want to fight. A lot of it is politics. They want to make the most money. They realize I'm a dangerous opponent, and they don't want to take the risk. They rather, you know, fight guys a little bit lesser, you know, which I was kind of shocked that, you know, Ennis turned down the fight. I'm really shocked by that because, you know, like I said, he's a USBA champion, so it was very shocking that he turned it down, but he turned it down as well. So I don't know. I can't say, but I know guys at 160 want to fight me. So that's the most important thing.
Now talk about, you talked about fluctuating between 154 and 160. How hard is to do something like that?
Oh, well, being that it's
for your body.
Being that it's only one weight class is not as tough. But if it, you know, if it becomes a point where, you know, I'm, you know, after I win this fight, when I get ranked high at 160, then we may just stay there, because it is, I'm getting older now, and it is a little bit difficult to keep fluctuating between the two. But being that this is only my second fight there, I don't see it as being like a major problem, you know, going between the two weights, because last time I fought at 160, like, a day before the weigh-in, I was like 155 pounds. So I don't think I'll have a problem making the weight, but I am getting, you know, putting on muscle and getting comfortable at 160 pounds. So, you know, it just depends on what's offered and what's out there.
Now, you got a lot of guys at 154. You got Paul Williams, Sergio Martinez, Kermit Cintron, and Gulo. I mean, you got a lot of guys there at 154. Do you think you can really make some noise there?
I do, but, you know, like Angulo, which Sergio Martinez has announced he's going up, he's staying at 160 after he beat Pavlovic. He doesn't want to go back down. You do have Paul Williams, who has stated he wants to go back down to 47. Then you have Angulo, and, you know, you have a couple guys that, yeah, I'm proven, but, you know, those guys like Angulo don't want to fight me. And,
right.
You know, Cintron is, he's getting big fights. I have the utmost respect for Cintron. You know, me and him are, we've talked in the past, and, you know, I have the utmost respect for him. And, you know, if those fights can be made, that would be great. But I can't sit around and wait on those guys and their promoters to make those fights. I just have to, you know, have faith in God and faith in my promoter that they're going to bring me the best fights available. And it seems like right now, 160 is where the most fights are being offered at.
Now, you've been on record and you've been talking about this training camp as being one of your better training camps. Tell us why.
Oh, because I've had the time, you know. A lot of times I get offered a fight with like 5 weeks notice, a month notice. This time I've had the time. I've had great sparring. You know, me and Eddie Mustafa, who trains Chad Dawson, is clicking on every level. It kind of reminds me back to the Wolak camp when it was my first fight with Eddie. And, you know, so it's good. And this camp is better than that camp. It's just, you know, I know this is the best I've felt and been in camp in a very long time. So, you know, I've been very, very comfortable, very fortunate, you know, to be being able to get the right proper training and the right time. You know, we're going into our 6th week right now, and, you know, we have like 2.5 weeks left till we leave. So, you know, for me, this is perfect.
Now, a lot of people, when you look at boxers, a lot of people don't know the sacrifice that it takes to make the weight and to make 154, to make 160. Talk about the sacrifices that you make in terms of turn away food and the training that you have to do.
Yeah, well, the food is the hard part, because I love sweets. I'm not really getting to like the fried foods. I'll have some French fries every once in a while, or pizza and stuff like that. But, you know, it's real tough to not eat that stuff, because you, like you said, you got to make weight. And you got to be dedicated to your craft, and that's real tough. And, you know, sacrifice as far as not going out. You know, the schedule is very hectic. I have to be at the gym by 12, and, you know, I have to run. You know, I run at night. Sometimes I go late at night, and then, you know, I do my workout after the gym. I'm in the gym for 3-4 hours. When I go at 12, I don't get out of there till like 4 o'clock, and then to run later on at night. So, you know, it's very demanding. It's very tough. So sometimes boxers get very grumpy and stuff like that. But, you know, I think my closest people know, you know, that when I'm in camp, just to kind of give me my space.
So you could be a hard person to be around during training.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, Ishe, let's talk about the fight now. You're going up against Fernando Guerrero, a guy with is undefeated, 18 wins, gaudy knockout percentage, 15, and this is a step-up fight for him. Is he ready for you?
We'll find out on the 16th of July. We're going to find out, you know. A lot of people talk about his power, which, you know, I've been in there with some of the strongest hitters. I never get, you know, impressed with a guy's knockout ratio. I always look out who he's knocked out, who he stopped, and stuff like that, and he hasn't fought me yet. You know, I've never been down, never been dropped, and, you know, that to me is proven in itself. And like I said, I've been in there with Randall Bailey, I've been in there with Joel Julio, I've been in there with Danny Jacobs, who had a high knockout ratio, and we saw that fight. He was reeling back. He was hurt a couple times in that fight. So I don't get impressed with like high knockout ratios, and I don't worry about that. I just go in there and do my job, and, you know, we'll find out on the 16th. You know, this has been a great camp, and we're going to go out there and win.
Now, Ishe, I was reading also in an article about you that you were the chief sparring partner for Floyd Mayweather Jr. How has that helped your preparation for this particular fight?
Oh, definitely, because it has helped me tremendously, because being a part of that camp, you know, before that, you know, fights were falling out. I had just had a fight fall out like maybe 2 or 3 weeks before that camp. So I was kind of getting down and, you know, not so much happy with boxing, because, you know, I was scheduled to fight Kasim Uma. He agreed to the terms. I agreed to the terms. There wasn't no signed contract yet. We were waiting on the contract, and then at the last minute, he pulled out. And I was like, oh, man. And then we worked it out where I ended up going to Mayweather's camp about the last 2 to 3 weeks. And, you know, and just seeing how the guy trains, seeing his determination and will to win, you know, it just set me just rejuvenated me and set me on a higher level. And this is why I believe this is one of my better camps, because, like I said, coming off that camp was coming off his camp and just seeing his willingness, and he believes he's the best, and he, in his heart, he believes he's the greatest fighter of all time. And to see, be around him and not just seeing him saying it on 24/7 and just seeing him living it, because he trains like he's the best. Like I said, I've been in camp with De La Hoya, Mosley, Vargas. I have never seen anyone train like he trains, never in my life. And, you know, to see that and to be a part of that was something special for me, because, like I said, it rejuvenated my career.
And I think that says a lot about Floyd in terms of a guy who, he talks, but he puts in the work. And if you put in that work you're the best, you can talk.
Exactly.
Now, Isha, you got this big fight coming up now. You want to give it a little prediction on how it's going to shake out?
The only prediction I'm going to give is that I won't lose. You know, we will win. We will hold our hand up. And we will be victorious on July 16th. And that after that, sky is the limit. You know, my determination and will to win is just back. I feel rejuvenated since, you know, being in Mayweather's camp. And it's just I want to set up the future for my children and, you know, their kids. And, you know, this is all I know. This is all I've done since I was 8 years old. So this is very important to me and my legacy, and on July 16th, we'll be holding up our hands.
All right. Isha Smith, the fight is July 16th on Showtime. 9 o'clock, correct?
Yeah, it should be 9 o'clock, or just check your local listing. Showtime is a little iffy with times at time, but it should be 9 o'clock.
And we also have to add that you are 4-0 on Showtime.
4-0, undefeated. Going back home. Yep.
So we'll be rooting for you here. You sound like a very good guy, and I've seen you in the ring. I see you against Jacobs, and I was very impressed how you fought there. And you seem like a really tough fighter and a really good guy. And I wish you nothing but the best on that fight on July 16th.
Thanks.
And hope to have you back to talk about it.
Oh, I will be. Thanks a lot. So, quick before I get off here, what do you think the Eagles are going to do without McNabb this year?
Well, Isha, I mean, I don't know if you've heard this, so you probably haven't, but I've been a big McNabb fan, and I was in the forefront of saying that they should not have gotten rid of the guy. I think the guy has a lot of football left in him, and I think he's a guy who can still play this game at a high level. Now, the guy they're replacing him with, Kevin Cobb, so he started twice. So there's no guarantees of how good he will be. And as far as I'm concerned, you have a proven winner and a proven commodity in Donovan McNabb, and I think they should have kept him. And actually, Isha, it's funny that you ask, we actually have a song about McNabb on this show. Say McNabb, everybody. Say McNabb, everybody. He is the guy if the Eagles want to fly. Everybody say McNabb. It's funny that you asked about Donovan McNabb. Who do you root for, Isha?
Oh, you know, I like the Eagles. You know, I'm a huge McNabb fan. You know, I like when him. It was unfortunate what happened with him and T.O. because I think that's when the Eagles were just unbelievable. But I'm just like a huge McNabb fan. I love you know, the Eagles. I love Will McNabb, his work ethic and everything like that. So it was unfortunate to see, you know, a guy like that, you know, I think went to three or four conference championships and then went to the Super Bowl. You'll want to see him retire, you know, with the team that he's been with, you know, for his whole career. So for me, it was very unfortunate at that time. You know, I would like to see T.O. and him reunited, but it doesn't look like anyone's going to pick T.O. up right now.
It seems like T.O.'s probably going to get picked up sometime during training camp or preseason if a team loses a wideout or something.
Yeah.
But Go ahead.
I said it's unfortunate because I still think he can play as well at a high level.
I don't think he has much football in him as McNabb does, but I think
I don't think so either.
But I do think he does have some productive years in him. But Isha, thank you for joining us here, sir. Good luck on your fight. We're rooting for
you
here, and we hope to have you back to talk about it.
All right. Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
You too. God bless.
All right. That was Isha Smith. He's got a big fight coming up July 16th against Fernando Guerrero. on Showtime, July 16th. Check your local listings for that particular fight. Should be a good fight, and again, we're rooting for him here, and seems like a quality guy, and he's a quality fighter, and we wish him nothing but the best here on Go For It. So if you want to talk about that fight, or if you want to talk about the free agency coming up on July 1, the question I have for you guys is $30 million. LeBron James can make the most money staying in Cleveland. So if somebody offered you $30 million, if you can make $30 million more to stay in Cleveland, if you're LeBron James, would you stay? Or is it really not about the money? So let me get your thoughts on that. The number is 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/Pgant. That's the blogtalkradio.com/Pgant. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. We have a caller. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a quick comment. I keep hearing about the $30 million that LeBron can make if he stays in Cleveland. However, everybody keeps comparing him and he has no championships. Is it about the money, or wouldn't you rather win a championship or multiple championships? And
I think we can believe him when he's actually. I think when he makes the decision on where he goes, I think that can give you an idea of where his head's at. I don't think he can win a championship right away in New York. I think he may have a hard time winning a championship right away in New Jersey. Chicago, I don't think there's no guarantee that he'll win a championship there either. I think his best, if he's about championships, his best opportunity is in Cleveland. Now, I also heard Los Angeles, meaning the Clippers, being in the mix. But again, you have an owner there who doesn't like to spend the money. So even if you bring LeBron in, who's to say that he's going to keep the players around him? So his best opportunity is to win in Cleveland. But I do think LeBron is about winning. I think he's proven, at least in the regular season, that he's a guy who can win basketball games for your team. In terms of the playoffs, the past couple years have been disappointing. But I think he's about winning. Do you think LeBron's about winning?
I agree, but one more quick comment would be that do you think the $30 million that he would make in extra in Cleveland would compare to the marketing that he could get going to Chicago and marketing?
And that's the thing I mentioned earlier. Now maybe he can recoup that. He also could recoup that through a sign and trade type of deal where Cleveland would sign him and then he would be traded to whatever destination he would like to go to. But, I mean, that would be a detriment to him, I think, in a lot of ways, because you're taking pieces away from the team that you're going to. So
right.
It would be a detriment. But that is a great point you bring up. You talk about Chicago. You talk about New York. You even talk about L.A. A lot of opportunities outside of basketball for LeBron James in those particular cities. So it should be – that is a great point. And maybe he could make that up in those particular cities. But we thank you for your call.
Love the show. Have a great day, pal.
You too. So, LeBron James, where will he go? What will he do? We'll see what happens with LeBron. And, again, it should be very interesting how that situation shakes out and where LeBron James will go. It should be very interesting to see where he goes. Again, I'm one of these guys who hopes that he stays in Cleveland. I really do. But again, I mean, judging by what I'm seeing and hearing, the chances of that happening are, I don't know. Well, I guess I could, I don't know. It's hard to say. Actually, last night in MLB, baseball, Edwin Jackson of the Arizona Diamondbacks, no hit, the Tampa Bay Rays. But it's a no-hitter, yes, but he had 8 walks. So it's kind of a garbage no-hitter, if there's a such thing as a garbage no-hitter. If there's such thing as a garbage no-hitter, Edwin Jackson's no-hitter last night was was kind of garbage. I mean, 8 walks. I mean, you want to talk about a lack of control there. 8 walks. And so, I mean, that's a garbage no-hitter in my mind. Okay, give the guy credit. He got the no-hit, no-hitter, 149 pitches thrown by the guy. The second time that the Rays were no-hit this year. So give him a lot of credit. Give Jackson a lot of credit. But in terms of the no-hitter, it was a little garbage. I mean, let's call it what it is. It was sort of a garbage no-hitter by Edwin Jackson. But give him credit. He deserves it. He got the no-hitter. Congrats. And good luck to you in the future, Edwin Jackson. So if you haven't heard, we talked about it earlier, but Mike Vick involved in a, well, not necessarily him involved with the shooting, but there was a shooting outside of the party that was held for him. It was his 30th birthday party. Apparently it was an all-white affair at a Virginia Beach nightclub. And so far, from what I'm reading, what I'm hearing, Michael Vick was not at the party at the time, and some have speculated that the person that was shot was a guy that was involved in the dog fighting ring, one of the members involved there. Apparently, he was one of the guys who was shot outside of Michael Vick's party. But, I mean, at this time, people were still, you know, everyone's still gathering the details and the information about this situation. But as of right now, the police are saying that Mike Vick is no interest in this particular shooting, and apparently it was Quanis Phillips, who was a former high school teammate of Michael Vick and who was one of the guys who was sentenced to 21 months in prison for his role in Vick's dogfighting operation. So, again, we'll see how it shakes out. I said it earlier, I'll say it again. I hope that Michael Vick was not involved and that everything will shake out here. Apparently he was in Virginia for his football camp that he's holding this weekend. A few celebrities were at his party last night, Allen Iverson being one of them. Also his former teammate, Roddy White. But again, Vick was home at the time. At least that's what they're saying, that Vick had left the party at the time when all this took place, and his attorney had stated that actually when it took place outside the club and away from the club. So, I mean, we'll see how that shakes out and what goes on there. But if you're Mike Vick, I mean, understand that it is your 30th birthday. I understand you're having a party, and I understand you want to have a good time, and you're entitled to that. But considering the situation that he's in, the situation that he's involved in, and unfortunately, you got to be very, very careful what you do, the things that you do, the people that you associate with, and the places that you go. And fair or unfair, he really doesn't have a choice in the matter. Now, again, as far as we know, and as far as what the police are saying, he's not an interest in the shooting, so he really doesn't have anything to do with it, as what we're hearing now. So, again, you hope that is the case. And as of right now, that's all we can go with. And we believe that it is the case at this time. But you never know how these things shake out. So the numbers to call, 1-646-727-3070. 1-646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. So, talking NBA free agents, Bosh, Wade, James, Stoudemire, Nowitzki, Joe Johnson, Carlos Boozer, Rudy Gay, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, David Lee, guys like Luis Scola from the Houston Rockets, Johnny Salmons, who had a great year for the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, the list goes on and on of names and guys that can help teams. I mean, this is amazing to me that you got – I know I've said it before, but I have to say this over and over again. You're talking about LeBron James and Dwayne Wade arguably the top five players in the league. Two of the top five players in the league, arguably. And some can make the argument that LeBron James is the best player in this game. You could even make the argument, I guess, Dwayne Wade is the best player in the league. So it's amazing that these guys are all free agents right now. And then they're entering the free agency period. And you got the sense, like, if you look at, let's look at Chicago Bulls, for example. They've sent their number 17 pick and Kirk Heinrich to the Washington Wizards during the draft. In doing so, they shed more money from their salary cap and gives them an opportunity to add pieces along with LeBron James. So we'll see what happens there, man. But I guess right now, I mean, in terms of the draft is kind of played second fiddle to this free agency thing coming up. The draft has played second fiddle to this free agency thing coming up. So it should be very, very interesting how this shakes out or how it will shake out, man. I mean, arguably two of the top five players in this game are free agents. And if you look at it, Nowitzki, Wade, James, you're talking about three. I mean, it's Stoudemire. Arguably, you're talking about four or five now out of the top 10 players in the game. Four or five out of the top 10 players in the game are free agents, arguably, are free agents. That's amazing. That is some amazing, amazing stuff there. And it's great for the game, man. It really is. You're giving attention to your league. This is great. This is great. And we'll see what happens there. But, I mean, it's good for the league right now, man, to have all these guys being free agents at this time. And so we'll see what happens there and see how that particular situation shakes out. So it should be very interesting. The number is to call 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. Well, everybody, Brett Favre just burped. Oh, I'm sorry. Nah, he didn't burp. But he did burp out some things this past week. He's talking about how he still believes that he can play at a high level. This will be his 20th season if he does decide to return. He talked about how he really wanted to get another shot at the New Orleans Saints. A little too late now, Brett. I mean, you had them where you wanted them. You had the game in your hands, and you threw a pick. You had them where you wanted them. You had them where you wanted them, and you threw a pick. But he says, again, he believes that he can play at a high level. He still believes that he can bring it. And we'll see what happens there, but you hope, I guess it's good for football to have a guy like Brett Favre in the mix, and I guess it's good to have him come back and play. I mean, if you're the Vikings, you want the guy to come back because how much football, at some point, you would think logically that he would get old. You would think he would get old, but as of right now, he still hasn't gotten old. He still hasn't gotten old, and so we'll see what happens there. We'll see what happens there with Brett Favre and whether or not he will return to the NFL and for his 20th season. Also, switching gears to baseball, Philadelphia Phillies playing some good baseball right now. Have won four straight. We talked about the Phillies earlier in the week, and when we talked about them, they were 5.5 games back of the Atlanta Braves and the New York Mets. Now they've trimmed that by three games, and now they're 2.5 back of the Mets and the Braves for the lead in the National League East. So give the Phillies a lot of credit, man. They're starting to score runs again. They're starting to open it up. scored 9 runs last night against the Toronto Blue Jays. They scored a lot of runs against the Cleveland Indians. Granted, it was the Cleveland Indians and not a great baseball team by no stretch of the imagination. But, I mean, give them credit. I mean, the way this team was hitting the baseball, you didn't know what was going on. But you figured with this lineup, they would have to turn it around. And you knew they kind of would turn it around. And so far, they're turning around. Roy Halladay got the victory last night. So give him a lot of credit. Roy's back on the winning end of things. It was against his former team. And this series was supposed to take place in Toronto, but with the G20 summit in Toronto right now, they switched it. A lot of protests seem to go on around that time with the summit, so they switched it to Philadelphia. The DH, is in play here, but it's being played in the National League ballpark. But the Blue Jays are the home team here at Citizens Bank Park. Halladay pitched 7 innings, gave up no runs, no 6 hits. He had 4 strikeouts. So decent night of work for Roy Halladay, beat his former Toronto Blue Jays team. And the Phillies have won 4 in a row, cut the lead in the NL East to 2.5. And they're back in the swing of things, and they're playing some good baseball. J-Roll has returned. Jimmy Rollins, he had that walk-off home run the other night against Cleveland. And so he's working his way back into things for the Philadelphia Phillies. And you want him definitely in the mix. Walked 4 times last night, scored a run for the Phillies. And so he was on base, he's causing havoc, and he's back. And if you're a Phillies fan, that's good news to you. And if you're a fan of other teams in the NL East, that might be a little bad news for you. But again, the Phillies, 4 in a row now, and they're doing well in interleague play, something they haven't done in the past. So give them a lot of credit right now. And the Phillies are now 2.5 behind the Braves in the NL East, and I think the Braves will come back to earth. I mean, they've been playing some amazing baseball right now. And the Mets have been playing some amazing baseball as well. They've been very hot. And I think they're going to cool off now. They're going to come on back to the pack. And I think the Philadelphia Phillies will ultimately win the NL East. And they are the best team in the National League. And there are concerns with the bullpen. There are concerns with the starters. But Jay Happ is expected to return at some point. So that may give a boost to this pitching staff of Philadelphia. So, I mean, right now, Halladay. You got Halladay, Hamels. Hamels has been pitching well for the Phillies of late. Moyer, the ageless one who's been pitching okay for the Phillies right now. I mean, he had a great start against Cleveland. And he's doing his 47 years old, and you just think to yourself, how is he doing it at the age of 47? This is a young man's game. And Jamie Moyer is finding a way to continue to compete at a high level for the Philadelphia Phillies. So right now, the Phillies are 7 games over 500, 2.5 out of first place. And they're moving on their way on up. And again, when it's all said and done, I expect this ball club to be in the playoffs. And I expect the Braves and the New York Mets to come on back to earth. The numbers to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. Hope you enjoyed the crowd noise there. I've got an email message now talking about the NBA draft. This is Tom from New York City. Tom writes, Paul, I believe that the Philadelphia 76ers have gotten this draft right. They've gotten Evan Turner, a guy who can step in right now and can be your two guard for the next 10 years. Give the Sixers a lot of credit and with the way they're shaping up with Turner and other guys in the mix. they should be able to make some noise and who knows, maybe make the playoffs. Well, Steve, we thank you for your email message. And, Steve, the way I look at it, I mean, while I didn't love the trade of Samuel Dalembert, I thought maybe they would have been better served just to let him play out the year and take his money off the books. I thought with that trade, you added Andres Nocioni, a rugged forward who definitely gives you some depth now for your team. And also, and you add Spencer Halls, who he's still young and may have some upside. So we'll see what happens there. And I guess you do rid yourself of Dalembert and his attitude. But you're going to miss his defense, his shot-blocking ability. You're going to miss that. But now you have now where Doug Collins has stayed in the past and Andre Iguodala is a three. He's a small forward in his mind. So now you have Evan Turner, who probably will be the two guard, and you have Drew Holiday, who probably will be the starting point guard, and then you have Iguodala, and then you have some question marks. What happens with Thad Young? Who's going to be your starting center? Does Elton Brand, do you put him at the center position? So how does that work out, and how do you work this thing out? Now, I've heard some talk last year about Elton Brand, and probably his best position at this stage of his career is center. Granted, he would be a little undersized at 6'9", but, I mean, it would get him on the court, and it would give you an opportunity to get the best players on the court for the Philadelphia 76ers, and that means putting maybe Thad Young at the four spot where he flourished a few seasons ago under Mo Cheeks and the Sixers. So, but I think Thad Young is a tweener at this stage of the game. I don't think he handles well enough or shoots well enough to be a three. And so I think that's going to be a problem for him. So I think what the Sixers are going to have to do, and I think what they should do, I think they're going to have to move either Iguodala or Thad Young or one of these guys. I may be in a minority here in thinking that I like Iguodala more than I like Thad Young. Granted, Thaddeus is a little younger than Iguodala, but I really like Iguodala better than Thaddeus Young. That's just my personal opinion. And I think he brings more to the game. He defends better. He defends well. And I just think he just has a better all-around game than Thaddeus Young. Now, I think a lot of people sour on Iguodala because of the money he makes. But if you just look at pure talent, I think he's a better player than Thaddeus Young. So the number's to call 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. Hello, you're on Go For It.
This is Mark from New Jersey. I'm really happy with the move the Sixers made with Doug Collins and picking up Evan Turner. You know, I think we could be a playoff team, and probably not next year, probably. What do you think Evan Turner
probably win? This has been a good offseason for the Sixers. As speaking right now, I mean, Doug Collins is a great addition, and he's an upgrade at coach. Evan Turner definitely is an upgrade at the shooting guard position. And they got rid of Dalembert. Again, they added depth there. I was one who maybe thought they could have just let Dalembert play it out and take the money off the cap, but they added some pieces there. And I mean, I think this team, the way it's presently constructed, with Doug Collins in the mix and a guy who's in every stop that he's went, he's improved the team's win totals. So I think with Doug Collins and with Evan Turner in the mix now, that this team possibly could sneak in at the bottom of the Eastern Conference. Talking maybe eighth or seventh spot at the highest, but I think they possibly could sneak in.
Okay. Well, thanks for your time.
Thank you for your call. So, I mean, he really likes the moves that the Sixers have made this offseason. I'm a fan of these moves as of right now. And so we'll see what happens. I mean, for these Sixers, but give them a lot of credit so far. Hopefully with the addition of Doug Collins, the addition of Evan Turner, and whatever else they may do in this offseason, that they have improved their ball club. I think they have improved the ball club. I mean, if you look at the team last year, it was really no different. I mean, Andre Miller, Andre Miller was a big loss. Andre Miller definitely was a big loss. But a lot of the same pieces were in play. And I guess it came down to the system that the Princeton offense that Eddie Jordan tried to implement. And this team just didn't respond to Eddie Jordan last year for whatever reason. And now I think talent-wise, they can sneak in the playoffs, probably again 7th or 8th seed. I think they could do it, talent-wise. But in terms of championship, I mean, it's all about winning championships. I mean, and compete for championships. And this team hasn't contended for a championship since the days of AI back in 2001, I guess 2000. I mean, you look at the AI era, I guess from 2001 to about 2004 is where this team competed and had opportunities to be championship contenders. But 2001 was the real year where they went to the finals with AI. And that's the last time really this team has really been a championship contender. Now you hope Doug Collins can lead this team and build this team the next few years to that status and to that level of a championship contender. And you hope Evan Turner can lead the way along with, and we'll see whether Iguodala will be around. We'll see what happens. But I think also a key guy is Elton Brand. You got to get something out of him. You're paying him a lot of money, and you got to get something out of Elton Brand coming into this season. And also Maurice Spates. I mean, Maurice Spates took a step back last year for the Sixers. So you hope now that he'll understand what he did wrong last year and make that next step. And if he can, I mean, Maurice Spates has definitely shown the ability and definitely shown the talent to be successful on the court. And he has a decent mid-range game. He has some athleticism. And so you hope that he'll come back this year stronger and ready to go. And hopefully Doug Collins can get the best out of Mo Spates coming into this next year. So give the Sixers a lot of credit right now. Give them credit. I mean, we've been frowning on the Sixers from last year. Last year was a bad year. You can't get around that. We frowned on them a little bit. But you know what? They made some changes, and you hope these changes will be for the best. And we'll see what happens going into this year. Also, you got to see how this offseason plays out and whether or not the Sixers will make some more moves. I think there are more moves to be made. I think more moves will be made, and we just got to figure out what those moves will be. Got another 2 minutes left in the show. Numbers to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And you can send email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. That's goforward.gan@gmail.com. So, got another minute left in the show. We want to thank Ishe Smith for stopping by. Ishe has a big fight coming up against Fernando Guerrero. That fight will be on Showtime on July 16th. So check your local listings for the time of that fight. Ishe is a guy who took advantage of being on the contender, and now, I mean, it gave him prominence and some name recognition. And I wish him nothing but the best coming up in this fight against Fernando Guerrero. We definitely want to bring him back to talk about how he did in that particular fight. And hopefully for Ishe, it's a victory. But we want to thank everybody who's called, everybody who's listened, everybody who sent email messages to the show at goforward.gan@gmail.com. You can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. There you can see this. You can listen to this show, and you can listen to past shows. A lot of good shows. So go to blogtalkradio.com/PGAN and take a listen to some great, great shows, great conversation, great opinions, great ideas, great beliefs. And all those great ideas, opinions, and beliefs come from me, and they also come from my partner, Jeremy Yespi, who is not here today. But he'll definitely be back. So we want to thank everybody for calling, everybody for listening, and everybody for joining in. Hope you'll have a nice day, and we got to see you back. Come on back, listen, and listen to Go For It on blogtalkradio.com and listen to past shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. Everybody have a great day, great night. Bye.